Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now to allow you to be a part of the broadcast, to pose your question, or discuss your real-life issue. So we invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. We all have issues in our lives, and many times we don't know what to do or where to turn. That's why we're here. If there's something you need to talk about, let's talk about it right now. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's basic gospel, friends, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. We're always giving out the good news of Jesus Christ,
yes,
and
indeed.
Simply this, that Jesus is alive.
Yes.
And we look at that as a historical fact, you know, that Jesus died, he was buried, and then 3 days later he came out of that grave. He was raised back to life.
Right.
Well, that's what Christianity hinges on, but it has profound effects in our lives today. Jesus Christ came out of that grave so that he could send his spirit to live inside of us. That's basically the gospel message, the impact of it for you and for me.
Right.
Any believer who has come to Jesus Christ and has believed in his heart that God raised him from the dead and has confessed with his mouth that Jesus is Lord, that person is saved, and that person is now indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's amazing. The God of this universe, through his Spirit, has come to live inside of you and has come to live inside of me. Well, that is vitally important to know when it comes to relationships. As we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we're going to see all of our other relationships starting to be lifted up in a very, very positive way. So the past 7 days, we've been talking about various relationship builders, and we've looked at six. Today, we're going to look at the seventh, and that is perseverance. Perseverance is key to any and every relationship. God sticks it out with us.
Yeah.
He's promised he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. That's good news.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's stuck with us through eternity. That's perseverance right there. Well, that perseverance is going to, I guess, flow over into our lives and into our relationships. And it's particularly important when it comes to this relationship called marriage. So we're going to spend a little bit of time today talking about marriage and how perseverance is key to that. Of course, in the world today, divorce is very common, isn't it? It happens. People, you know, they go to the altar, they covenant together that they're going to be with one another until death does them part. And they come, you know, it's just kind of flippant. They don't really mean it. They always have an exit strategy. If this doesn't work, then I can divorce this one and I'll find someone else. And that's the culture that we live in today. But that's not the way God designed it. God designed us to be together until we die.
Yeah.
It's a forever relationship as far as time is concerned. And the only way that can happen is if we exercise perseverance. Because marriage isn't always rosy. Marriage isn't always the best in the world. There are tough times in marriage. It's hard. It's difficult. But with this attitude that we're going to persevere, you can get through those hard times and get to those mountain peak experiences where it's wonderful.
Absolutely. Well, of course, relationships, we've been talking about it all month, and we continue to talk about it today. And I have a very special offer I want to share with you in just a moment after I give the phone lines, because we do have open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. We want you to be a part of the conversation on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and thank you for joining us. 1-800-677-9377. Calls beginning to come in, but still plenty of room for you, plenty of time on the clock. We want to talk about what you want to talk about. 1-800-677-9377. And Bob, just before we go to the phone, I want to remind our listeners that we do have a very special gift for our Basic Gospel listeners today. It's your CD called The Mystery of Marriage, and it's free today only. And all you need to do to get your copy is call 1-800-727-2828. Again, 800-727-2828. And if your call goes to voicemail, that means our operator's on other calls. So just leave your name, your postal mailing address, and your phone number. We'll use your phone number only if your mailing address can't be clearly understood as you leave a voicemail message. So your name, your mailing address, and your phone number when you call 1-800-727-2828 and ask for your free CD on marriage. Call now, 1-800-727-2828. And you'll get a copy, a free copy of Bob's CD called The Mystery of Marriage. Okay, Bob, to the phones I guess we go, huh?
Well, indeed. One last point on marriage. This is where Christ in you, the hope of glory, is seen, I think, most prominently. Mm-hmm. In my marriage with Gina, I've come to understand that Christ lives in me, but I've also come to understand that Christ lives in her.
Right.
And I've been able to watch him work in her in such wonderful ways, in ways that benefit me. Mm-hmm. There might be times in my life where I feel down, discouraged, whatever it might be. And just out of the blue, she says something to me that lifts me up. And I stepped back and said, how does she know that I need... How does she know that I needed that encouragement?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the Lord working in her. Mm-hmm. That's what marriage is all about. Sometimes, I want her to do things in a certain way, or she wants me to do things in a certain way. And so I get into action and try to help her learn how to do it the way I want it to be done.
Uh-huh.
I find that never works. But when I back off and just let the Lord do it, it's always better. So I think we need to realize that in marriage, that if we're going to see it work, we're going to have to trust the Lord.
Right.
We're going to have to trust him to work in our lives. We're going to have to trust him to work in our mates' lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good news. And that's why God wants us to marry believers.
Right.
Because when we marry believers, we're both on the same page. We both have relationships with the Lord. We're both getting our spiritual needs met there, which frees us to meet one another's needs as husband and wife.
Sure.
So that's vitally important. You know, when Adam and Eve were created, they had a relationship one to another, but they had a relationship with the Lord individually and together. They together had a relationship with the Lord. So as believers in Christ, you individually have relationships with the Lord, but as a married couple that is now one in Christ, you the couple has a relationship with the Lord.
Right.
And so when problems arise, you seek the mind of Christ. I have my desires, Gina has her desires. Mm-hmm. Those don't really matter. What matters is what Christ desires. So if we can come together and say, let's seek the mind of Christ in this situation, then we're going to see the best outcome, the best possible outcome come to bear in that situation.
Yeah.
So if you're a believer in Christ and your mate is a believer in Christ, you have incredible hope for your marriage always, even in the roughest times, even when you're going through the most difficult patches as far as your relationship is concerned. Why? Because you have Christ right in the middle.
Right.
He is the hope of glory. So you can trust Christ to work in you. You can trust Christ to work in your mate. That's why you persevere.
Right.
Because you know Christ is going to cause all things to work together for good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's vitally important. That's where this gospel message intersects with us, just in the nitty-gritty of life called marriage.
And that's just a sample of what you'll hear on the CD by Bob Christopher called The Mystery of Marriage, and it's free. If you call today, 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828.
We're going to start in Bloomfield, New Jersey today and talk to Navarre, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Navarre. Navarre, you're on the air. Well, we'll put him on hold, and we'll check in with Dominique in Long Island. Hi, Dominique.
Hi. I listened to the program yesterday, and I heard something about Exodus 4:25, where Moses' wife disagreed with him. And what come to mind was that the phrase of put away the sword is like putting away the knife, and as because a knife becomes a weapon. Now, as far as the circumcision, we're not nobody comes out of the womb, whether it's male or female, with any dotted lines to cut on. So I find that my thought is that Moses didn't insist on this, but she had a different feeling. So talk about harmony between husband and wife, as you're talking about. I'm referring to the these couple of passages of the Bible. And I know also that the Jewish people do not require circumcision, even though it's historically a part of their teaching.
Well, Dominique, circumcision was the sign that was given to Abraham that he belonged to God. It was a sign that came after his belief in the promise. And so that circumcision was the sign that said that he truly belonged to God. It became a requirement for everyone in that bloodline to be circumcised. When it came to Moses in this particular story, their son, obviously Moses and his wife Zipporah had talked about it. And then when God called Moses on the carpet as to why he hadn't done this, his wife got into action and circumcised their son. They were about to go to leave Egypt. They were going to go into a new land. He wanted them to go into a new land as his representative. And so that's the point of the story. But circumcision was that sign. Today, we have the seal of God's Spirit living in us. That's the deposit guaranteeing that we are children of God. So this was foreshadowing the real people of God and the real mark that we belong to Him, and that's the gift of God's Spirit. Well, Dominique, we certainly appreciate your call.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Long Island, New York, and talk to Wilfred. Hi, Wilfred.
Hi, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you.
Yes, my question is, what is your biblical thoughts about homosexuality? People born homosexual, and why some Christians practice that homosexuality thing?
Wilfred, good question, and certainly a relevant question in today's times. Homosexuality is an issue that's talked about on every front. It's talked about politically, it's talked about religiously, it's talked about economically, it's talked about socially. So it's an issue that we need to address, that we need to face, that we need to talk about. It's also an issue that is incendiary. It causes explosions of anger, you know, on both sides. We can't talk about it civilly. Well, we need to. We need to learn how to talk about it civilly. Well, the Word of God lists that as a sin. We know that. It lists a lot of things: adultery, slander, lying. There's lots of sins listed in the Word of God, and I think we as Christians need to recognize that, but also to discuss it in terms of the deeper problem that we all have. And the problem that we all have before coming to know Christ is that we're dead spiritually, that we are separated from the life of God. So it doesn't matter the sins that we're involved in. I mean, it matters, but all of those are simply symptomatic of the deeper problem, and that deeper problem is spiritual death. So the offer on the table from God to man is life in Jesus Christ. That's the offer. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. When we believe in Christ and receive Him, John says in John chapter 5, verse 24, that we cross over from death to life. Well, in that crossover, in that new birth, in that regeneration, we're given a brand new identity, and that identity is child of God. Now, if you're a child of God, you're a child of God. You can't be anything else, and that's the real rub. Can a Christian be a homosexual? Well, they might can practice homosexuality. They might can engage in the act of homosexuality, but if they're truly born again, their identity is child of God. Mm-hmm. They are a saint by calling. That's who they are. And once a person really grabs hold of that identity, then that truth can start pushing out all of the error in their mind concerning who they are. So somebody can be practicing those things as a Christian, but if they're genuinely a Christian, their true identity is that of a child of God, and the Holy Spirit is alive, living in them, and the Holy Spirit will start the renewing of the mind process. We need to be able to trust that in the life of another person. Are there Christians that practice other sins? Absolutely. There are Christians that practice all sorts of sins, but you don't label them based on the sin that they practice. You would call them children of God who are engaged in these sinful activities. And what you want to do is to keep reminding a person of their true identity in Christ, and then to say, in light of who you really are, does this act make sense? Does this sinful activity make sense? And when you look at it in that light, you say, no, that doesn't make sense at all. I want to submit myself to this new way of life that I have in Christ Jesus. So I think if we approach that correctly, on the basis of life and death, on the basis of new identity in Christ, then that issue can be talked about in a very civil way. Does that make sense, Wilford?
It is. Thank you. But the thing is, the Christian who practice homosexuality, they're supposed to be no creature, so can they call them Christian?
Well, Wilford, what I want to say to that is let's not just isolate it to homosexuality. There are pastors by the dozen who are leaving their jobs as pastors because of sexual immorality. They are having affairs. They're doing all sorts of things. That is in just rampant in the church today. Pastors engaged in sexual immorality. Not homosexual sexual immorality, but adultery, all sorts of things. Well, are they Christians? They say they are. They say they've come to Christ, so you take them at their word. And if they are, what that means is that Christ has come to live inside of them, and Christ can take care of that. We need to trust Christ to do his work in an individual's lives. Are there Christians out there who lie all the time? Yes, there are Christians that do that. I mean, most every Christian who walks in a church every Sunday probably lies when they're asked the question, how you doing? Well, just fine. Knowing deep down their guts are hanging out. Not fine at all. But so they just tell a little white lie so they don't have to get into all the details. The Christians do that. Yes. Well, does God call that sin? Yes. Lying is a sin. Well, we leave that up to God's Spirit to work in a person's life. We don't have to be the sin police and point out those sins in everybody's lives and say, you better get that together. Jesus Christ is alive, living in Christian. So we have to trust in his work in their lives, just as we have to trust in his work in our lives. Well, Wilford, thanks for your call. I hope that helped. Let's go to Yonkers, New York, and talk with Don. Hi, Don.
Hello, Bob. And Bob, I want to give praise and honor to God for WMCA as a station, bringing forth such great programming as the Basic Gospel and others that I hear, because I'm an avid listener.
Well, Don, let me echo your praise for WMCA indeed. And to Phil Boyce and all the team there at WMCA. They have done a fantastic job of delivering top-notch, high-quality biblical teaching to that listening audience there. We are just proud to be partners with them and so thankful that we can be a part of their day-to-day lineup.
Amen. The question that I have, you know, I heard you talking about, you know, marriage and we, the church, being the bride of Christ. You know, the world looks like it's winning, and we look like we're being subjected to them telling us that we should be tolerant, and we look like we're losing on the face of it. We have a strong and powerful word, and the Lord who has made everything, Jesus Christ himself, who says that we have overcome. The question to you is are we like in First or Second Timothy, third chapter, are we showing a form of godliness and lacking in power and authority and strength? Is that the reason why that we are looking like we're losing?
Well, Don, that is an interesting question. And, you know, we look at the church at large, and we have a lot of kind of outliers, basically, that we would put group into the church at large. I mean, you look at almost every single church on Sunday mornings and say, you know, the average congregation size is 500 people. So of all the thousands of churches in America, every Sunday, you know, 500 people or so enter into each and every one. I'm just throwing that out as kind of a number. That's not a statistic or anything. But out of those 500 that are sitting in churches each Sunday, you're going to have to realize that not all 500 are truly born-again Christians. There's going to be a percentage. And in some churches, the percentage of born-again Christians is going to be higher. In other churches, it's probably going to be lower. So, but we group all 500 into the church at large. Well, when we do so, we kind of water down the work of the church, don't we?
Yes, we do.
You understand what I'm saying? So on the surface, it looks like we're not doing the job. But when we put out the folks who aren't really born again and just isolate on the true, genuine Christians, and we're going to see God doing work in those people's lives, both individually and corporately. And the work that's being done by God in individual lives isn't going to make the headline news. Satan is a brilliant marketer, and he uses everything in the world system to draw attention to what he's doing, just so that we will look at it and draw the same conclusion that you did, that, wow, Satan's winning, we're losing. Well, that's not true at all. Jesus.
Well, you know, I know. Yeah. I know that's not true, Bob.
I know that.
And that's not where I stand. But deep in my spirit, and I live in Christ Jesus every day.
Well, you have overcome, Don, and just recognize that Jesus is making himself known in the world today, and he's making himself known in powerful ways and bringing life to those who are dead in sin, freedom to those who are in bondage, release to those who were bound up in sin and shame. That's the good news. Well, Don, we're out of time. Thanks for your call today.
Yes, indeed. And as we noted earlier in the broadcast, we have a special gift for each of you who calls it. It's Bob Christopher's message, The Mystery of Marriage. And all you need to do is make a phone call to 1-800-727-2828 right now or sometime today. It's free. It's our gift to you and your marriage or your plans for marriage. If your call goes to voicemail, of course, please leave a message and say that you'd like to have the CD on marriage. Then very clearly leave your name, your postal mailing address. We, of course, can't send it by email, so leave your postal address and your phone number, and we'll call only in case that we can't clearly understand your postal address. But it's free. It's our gift to you, Bob Christopher CD, The Mystery of Marriage. Call today, 1-800-727-2828. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday after a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then.